There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Syrupcast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian-focused tech podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, Brad Bennett, a man who refers to himself as the bad boy of tech. He's across the internet. I can kind of see him a little bit better. Not anymore. He just turned into a bunch of pixels.
Oh yeah. I forgot to mention that. I lowered my quality in my camera today to 1080p, or maybe it was 720, but usually I was trying to record at 4K, so I was hoping that would be easier on Zencastr, but you're telling me that didn't help. I'm still
It blurred. Was working really well before, and then as soon as I pressed record, you just turned into like a Game Boy camera character.
Hello. Beep, boop. Anyway, I'm Brad Bennett. Welcome to the Samsung Show.
Yeah, that's what it is today. Yeah. And we also have a resident Pokemon expert, Dean Daly. He's back, but this time he's our Samsung expert. How are you doing, Dean?
Good. I have just a bunch of Samsung phones here. Ball Air.
Wow. What phones are they? Tell people what phones they are.
This is the Z Fold 3.
Okay.
S22 Ultra.
Will do that all the time. I do recommend my writing Ultra. Everything.
S21 FE. And S21 Ultra.
Nice. Cool. The one thing I've been trying to do to like soothe my like little, I can't call it a note soul, is every time I try to write about it, I always say like, notably, it has this. It's just like a little, it's a note. I don't know if anyone's picking up on it, but yeah.
I saved this for the podcast. Your story that you wrote today about the colors.
Yeah.
Called it a note in the headline.
Oh, no.
You said, here's every Samsung Galaxy Note 22. S22 colors.
Yeah, that's...
It's hard. I struggled a lot with my review. Or my hands up.
I can't believe I got caught up on the podcast. That's hilarious that worked in perfectly.
I saved it for this. But yeah, as you may have guessed, this is the Samsung Galaxy S22 episode. We have a ton of stuff to go over, ranging from the Ultra to the S22 Plus and the standard S22. Dean's going to be doing our Ultra review. John's doing our S22 review. I think we'll also have an S22 Plus review at some point, but probably down the line. But before we get to the bulk of the show, Bennett, hit us with that hottest news of the week.
So there's not a whole lot. I mean, most of the hottest news, obviously, is the Samsung stuff that we're going to be talking about for the bulk of the show. So stick around for that. And I'll just kind of glaze over what's happening on the other side of the tech world, which is, I guess, the Apple zone. So basically, there's a new Apple event, or there are rumors of an Apple event happening on March 8th. We're expecting a new iPhone SE, a new base level iPad, or maybe a new iPad Air. Is that kind of what I'm getting?
New iPad Air. But based on the stuff that like I've covered and the leaks that we've seen from Bloomberg, and I think John Prosser had some stuff too.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty
Don't
pedestrian.
Trust that guy.
I still like that I write sometimes reliable John Prosser. He saw that, thought it was funny, but like his hardcore fans were like just yelling at me, like yelling into the abyss for like a week after I wrote that.
That's honestly,
still do it every time.
I think that should be his Twitter bio. That's like pretty good. That's like a pretty good like in on the joke, and he knows it. I mean, it's just the nature.
It's not
of
even
leaks.
Like yeah, it's not really that big of a knock on him either, right? No. Like when he's right, the dude is really right. Like
yeah, super we cover right him for boy. A reason. I mean, that's yeah. enough.
But when he's wrong, he's also really, really wrong at the same time.
But entertaining, you know. I'll watch that guy shave an eyebrow off every time. I love it. If he would do it every time, I would watch it. It's tough, and I hope he doesn't. Don't listen to me, but you know, it's entertaining as hell. It was awesome.
But at anyway, this event, so there's the new iPhone SE. It's expected to be the same as the previous one, so it's going to look like an iPhone 8. It's still going to have a physical Touch ID button, which back when the last SE dropped in 2020, it already looked super dated. So this is going to look like a positively ancient phone, but it's going to have the latest A series chip in it. So it'll be
and 5G.
Probably. Yeah, and 5G, sure. That matters more in the US than here, but yeah, it'll have 5G. And then the iPad Air, there's not a lot about like anything related to leaks regarding it. It's just going to have a faster chip. Probably.
I think they have to, because the iPad Mini is like more powerful in it right now. It's just kind of a weird lineup for Apple.
Especially with the smaller resolution display.
Yeah. The one thing that kind of like shakes me about the iPhone SE is, do you think that they'll keep it in the tiny iPhone 8 form factor, or they at least bump it up to iPhone 8 Plus?
Nope. It's like, going to be the same. I think it's going to be so the exact tiny. Same phone.
I have one buddy with one, and it looks like a toy. When he pulls it out, it's like, shoop. It's like the size of this like little tiny book that came with my earbuds to the instructions. Like, it's so small.
That phone, like, it's like a parts bin floor Apple phone, where they just take like stuff that's left over in the factories and put together a smartphone. But that's
but Apple, like, you think like, they'd have leftover, you know, 10R parts or iPhone 11 parts at this 100%. Point. Usually at this, yeah. But you're right.
But that's what people don't want. That like the audience that this phone is going after are like. It's probably a generalization, but like older people that are still stuck on using the physical Touch ID home button. So if they were to change it and go with a more modern like XR design, which makes sense to me, it probably wouldn't sell as well.
Yeah, that's fair. And I guess like smaller size to me, less parts, lower cost, which is the whole joint of this. So I guess that makes sense. Moving on, this other thing, this one we'll just go over really quickly because it's not coming to Canada. It's also Apple related, but Apple just launched a new feature called Tap to Pay, and it allows you, or it allows like stores to use an iPhone as like a payment terminal. So instead of having a debit machine, you would just tap your card to the cashier's iPhone, and that's how the money would get transferred to the store. This means you could tap like phone to phone, card to phone. Those are really the two ways you could do cash into phone, but hopefully they'll still take cash anyway. But I think it's like really cool. It probably won't come to Canada for a long time, just because a lot of this like Apple Wallet, Apple Pay, like stuff just hasn't came here. You know, the Apple Card isn't here. Apple Cash isn't here. Those are kind of the same thing, but like you can't use your Apple Wallet to do student cards or like Presto or transit passes in Canada, but I think you can in the States. Maybe you can in some places.
Presto was supposed to be coming to Apple devices, but then I would love to do a follow up story on that. It just never happened. I don't know what was going on. There was like a big press release and it just never went through.
Yeah, I feel like that sort of stuff would be great at like Fan Expo. Everyone always has like their little like those little
square
like,
readers.
The square readers and stuff, and like skip the middleman. Let's do pay.
That's what it's a replacement for, is Square. Yeah, right? Yeah. Like if I was Square, I'd be like I realize that the amount of people Square's that done. Use They I mean, use like a an year iPhone. And a half. Yeah, they use an iPhone in the States. Like, it's not 50-50 like Canada. It's a different percentage. I think
but in a year and a half, Google's going to copy this. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't they?
That's just the same thing.
The way it goes. Or not copy it, but like offer a comparative feature. Like, it's just the way things are going. So all we need... You can go ahead.
The only thing I was going to say, like the one key thing that I wanted to mention was that it's not going to be like natively baked into iOS. It has to... It's supported by third-party apps, and one of the first apps I believe is a Shopify app.
Right. Yeah,
which leads me to believe that it might come to Canada because Shopify is a Canadian company and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, I could see this being huge, and it basically the one thing that I'm like the most excited about. I guess this doesn't really change things, but to me it feels like a step closer not having to carry a wallet, you know. We have the like digital ID Me app in Canada where we can put our like IDs on our phones. You can't legally like accept that places yet, but I think we're like a few steps away from that becoming legal. And then, you know, this stuff starts rolling out. Maybe I can get my Presto Pass and my Apple Wallet finally. And then I don't have my like MagSafe wallet here on the desk, but that means no wallet, just a phone. And that's like the Brad Bennett dream come true.
I'll never do
anyway, it. Really? You would never do it? Like, whoops, kick my camera. You would never do no wallet? Why?
I would have too much anxiety about not having like unreasonable anxiety, but not having like a specific card that I need. And I don't even carry around like a
Tim's card.
It might be my Tim's card.
Actually, I didn't see my wallet all week.
Tough. This is where we lose Dean in the podcast and he just goes,
he's going to go look for it.
Yeah.
I should ask that. Huh. All right. It's good to
All right, we've dived into wallets. The last thing I'll say about wallets, I have a MagSafe PopSocket wallet. I wrote about it once. It's on mobilesurf.com. It's honestly really, really sick. I love it. If you're looking for like a minimal wallet, that's definitely one to check.
But then how do you tap your phone? Like don't you, like,
doesn't it? Well, like, it's a magnet, so I can just take it off, tap.
Oh,
That's why this one is so good, because it's a magnet. I wouldn't put like a pop socket wallet that like sticks forever on my phone, but because of like the MagSafe thing, boom. Like if I get a Pixel, I'm getting the MagSafe cases for it, because like I'm so, these MagSafe accessories, the way, the fact that I can have them on
Who makes that? Is that D-Brand?
Well, maybe D-Brand has them. No, Moment makes the cases for Google Pixels that have MagSafe rings.
Oh, do they? Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It also, the ring even lines up with the wireless charger in the Pixel, so you can even use it with the MagSafe chargers to wirelessly charge.
I love MagSafe. I think it's like highly it's great. People like crapped all over it when it came out. The ecosystem's gotten way better, and there's some cool accessories up there.
Yeah. There's some dumb ones too. I keep seeing this one for this like crazy audio DAC thing. So it's like a huge thing.
Yeah,
we're getting way off topic. Magnets on the back of your phone, plugs into the lightning port, and then has a headphone jack on the back, so you can get like lossless audio. I mean, it's kind of cool, but yeah, it's like $200. Anyway, let's get into Samsung stuff. Let's not, Apple can't derail this one.
Cool. Yeah. So we're going to break this into two different sections. Again, this is another episode of the Dean Daily Show in some respect, because he's going to be carrying the bulk of this. First, we're going to talk about the S22 Ultra. This is the first year, I think, since I've worked at Mobile Syrup that I have not. I'm not going to be doing a Samsung review. I'm bowing out. I'm handing over the torch. I'm not going to be doing.
Thank God, people are tired of your old ass reviews.
I am tired of them as well. So I'm glad personally that I'm not doing them. To be fair. But Dean, he's going to be doing our S22 Ultra review. I looked at the pictures. I edited the story. It looks largely the same as last year's device. I do like the camera bump. Bennett, I know you have a different opinion on that, and we'll get into that.
Yeah. But and actually, Dean, Dean's holding up, it looks very similar, with just the light shining out. Like the placement of them is really similar. I didn't notice how like sort of it's kind of like the same bump. You know?
But the Ultra just doesn't have that backing, which
I've always hated.
I've always hated the backing. I'm not a big fan of it on the iPhone. But it, what was the year? There was one year. Would it have been the S20 Ultra, where it looked like they literally just pasted like a piece of metal or glass to the back of the phone, and it just looked so bad. It didn't look seamless in any way.
Yeah, it was just like, and it was deep too. Like it was not good.
But yeah, back to the Ultra. Dean, what's different in this year's phone compared to the S21 Ultra?
All right. So starting from here, I guess this one has an S Pen. It's built in.
Boom. We need like a soundboard for moments like that, where just like the crowd.
It's just like an explosion noise.
I just want like Seinfeld, like crowd laughing, or I don't even know if Seinfeld has that.
And that's big, right? Like you can't really.
Yeah, that's pretty big. It makes the phone a note. I don't see the difference between this and a note now, except for the note is dead.
The note is dead. Long live the note.
Yeah, but Samsung is bringing back the note into the
Ultra
S20, like the S line now, and making the S22 Ultra the note, which is kind of weird because like. I have this weird thought process with this, is that
okay, hit us with it.
If you're gonna make the S22 Ultra the new note, then the S22 Plus should be the new S22 Ultra. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, I don't know. You don't think like, this kind of like falls enough between the two to kind of satisfy both camps?
No,
like Ultra camp
kinda,
and note camp.
I don't know. It kind of feels like a note, and I've always been an S fan and not a note fan.
Yeah,
care for the S Pen. I don't care for this. Like, I mean, I'm getting used to this square shaped body, but I didn't care for it before.
Yeah.
And now like people are paying more really for like an S Pen.
To me,
how much more? How much more is it than the Ultra? I know the Ultra was really.
So the S22 Plus is $1,399, and then the S22 Ultra is $1,649. So like
an extra like $300,
like $250, right?
Okay.
So like if I'm someone who wanted an S20, if I wanted like the S21 Ultra experience, but not like an S Pen, I mean, like it's just kind of weird. It's a weird move, in my opinion. I think that the S22 Plus should have just been a different than the S22.
Do you think just making it larger, more like ultra size, would have like alleviated that?
I think it needed like more of the ultra features. Like the ultra has the, I'm looking at some spec sheets right now.
It's got the more cameras like, right off the bat.
Yeah, the more cameras, bigger battery, 12 gigabytes of RAM, which
right, that's a big one.
Yeah, like this 22 doesn't have access to that at all.
But isn't that a step down from the amount of RAM that was in the Ultra last year too, though?
Yeah,
it start you started.
But 16 at gigs 12? Of RAM was crazy.
Yeah, you have to pay more. You have to pay more money for the 16 gigs, right? You so like that was like one of the upper tiers. It started at 12 gigs.
Okay,
this one starts at 8 gigs, which is also like kind of weird. I don't know why they would start at 8 gigs. Even Google's Pixel starts at 12 gigs.
Just to clarify, though, we're talking about the S22 Ultra starts at 8, goes up to 12, and the S22 and S22 Plus only have 6 gigs of RAM each, right?
No, they only have, they have 8. They just have 8 gigs.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So then, like, yeah, it is a down, it is a downgrade, because last year's had 16, but
does that really matter? Like, I realize there's some saying some fans that, like, truly care about specs and, like, they need to see that number, but I would like bet nearly any amount of money that when you like get down to using that phone, the experience with the RAM difference, it's not going to change a hell of a lot.
I don't know. I don't even know if this one has 16 gigs. The one I have here, it probably only has 12. Like, I don't think I've ever used a phone with 16 gigs of RAM. So I can't imagine it. More than a lot
of computers. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's not necessary. but starting at 8 gigs is kind of weird. It's just like not really what we're doing nowadays. For Android phones. I mean, I think iPhones start a little lower as well.
Apple never. Yeah, that's always been a bit of a difference, though. The one thing that's weird, I think, with this one is like the S22. I guess they kind of did this last year, but the S20, and I guess I'll preface this by saying they truly are all like flagships, you know, good cameras, good chips, good screens, you know, at the bare bones. But just the way that Samsung's sort of presenting them this year, it sort of seems like the Ultra is like really in the spotlight. And the other two, just by the nature of them not even looking that different from the last year models and like just being much smaller and just different in general, it almost seems like they're presenting like two phone lines, and the S22 and S22 Plus almost seem like they're being presented in more of a mid-range light. It's weird because they're still great phones, but
that's what I was going to say. Like, I wasn't at the event. I didn't go with you guys this year, but to me, the Ultra just is a Note. It's like a Note with a different name. That's the way it looks to me from the outside looking in. Like, I didn't hear Samsung's messaging surrounding it or anything like that, but that's really what it seems like. It's like, okay, people were sad about the Note line getting killed off. We tried it with the S21. The S21 worked with the S Pen, but you had to have like a weird case to keep it in or carry the S Pen around with you, which makes absolutely
stick it
sense.
Behind your ear, you know, classic. Yeah,
just stick it behind your ear, take it out there. When you need to use it.
Yeah.
So this was like Samsung kind of backpedaling in a sense on killing the Note line, but then melding it into the S series because they needed to bring the Note back, because people, there's like a passionate, we even see it in like the stats and the comments and stuff on the site. Like, there's a passionate group of people that really care about the Note. Like,
a notable group. Really, yeah.
Do. There's no other way to put it.
And I think that makes sense. I honestly think it's a good idea for Samsung to make the Note, the S22 Ultra, like the S22 Ultra, the Note. I think that makes perfectly sense. Like,
but do you think?
Makes a lot of sense. I just think that the S22 Plus should be more different than the S22 as well, so that there's like a middle ground.
I agree.
For someone
who
wants the S22 Ultra but doesn't want a Note.
I was also, I mean, we're getting into the weeds of it, but I was also kind of perfectly fine with the Note being gone and the Fold line trying to take that sort of high-end business class place. You know, I'm worried now that the next Fold isn't going to have an S Pen slot because we have the Note back, and that's not what I wanted.
The new Fold uses an S Pen, right?
But it doesn't have the slot.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And it has a, it's a specific S Pen with like a softer tip or something, isn't it? Am I wrong there? Did I make that up?
I don't know offhand, to be honest.
Or maybe there was just two different types of S Pens.
I think it's the same S Pen.
There is two different S Pens. For sure, there's one that has Bluetooth and one that doesn't.
Okay. But either way, I thought, you know, because of the release date of the Folds, they had replaced the Samsung Note as Samsung's like summer phone. It just made a lot of sense. They're more expensive, like the Notes were. So now Samsung kind of double dipping in that ultra expensive, like business class customer category seems odd to me. But maybe the Folds aren't picking up in the way that Samsung hoped or we expect.
I mean, they are.
Did I say Note or Folds? I meant to say Folds.
You said Folds. But okay, they are like Folds. $2,000.
Yeah, so that's true. So it's even more expensive. But that's also like Samsung has been pushing the prices up that high. Like they pushed it that high, you know?
Oh, that's fair. Google went down. Well, and Samsung is... I mean, to be fair, the S22 Ultra and the S21 Ultra cost the same as last year. Like they're the exact same cost.
Okay, that's fair then. But those are also very expensive.
I got something wrong.
So beyond the actual like S Pen itself, what else is new about the fact that the S Pen can go in the phone? I mean, is there anything else different about the S22 Ultra when you compare it to the S21 Ultra?
I mean, the shape is different.
It's more rectangular, and, right?
Yeah, it's more rectangular. The camera bump is super different.
The camera sensors are larger, more like the iPhone to capture better low light was kind of one of the marketing things.
Exactly, more like bigger pixels. It is supposed to. That's kind of it, really. The display 120 hertz goes from 10 hertz to 1 hertz instead. Like so, all Samsung phones or all S21 phones have a variable refresh rate, which means that when you're looking at a static page, your phone should only use like it would only go to 10 hertz, which should save battery. You don't really need all 120 hertz if you're not doing anything. But what's new for the Ultra is that it goes down to 1 hertz, which should save even more battery. And it makes perfect sense. Like, why would you need your screen moving at
that's cool feature.
10 hertz if you're not doing anything, right? Yeah, so hopefully I should be able to get better usage out of the battery from this phone compared to the S21 Ultra. It also has 240 hertz
touch sampling.
For games. So it means that, like when you touch your screen, like when you're playing a game, it should like be like it always feels immediate when you're doing stuff, but like it should I don't know how to explain it. I wrote the perfect words.
It's more reactive. I think it goes down to I think you said it goes down to like less than 4 milliseconds or something, or around 4 milliseconds, which is
just slightly more instant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should feel more instant. Like, it's not noticeable
gaming
if
phones.
You're not. Yeah. It's if you're noticeable when you're gaming, like if you're playing like I don't know PUBG, like you're gonna want to shoot faster, feel it faster, and that should help, right? So that is one of the other differences.
I don't know how many gaming phones have 240 hertz touch sampling, but yeah, the like more and more touch sampling is something that when I was reviewing those Red Magic phones every year, they kept getting like higher and higher in that. So that's what I think it's like really geared towards gaming, those like high touch sampling rates.
Yeah, I think all the ROG phones have it as well.
Yeah.
Or at least they've all had it since ROG 2.
How do we feel about the bump, the camera bump?
I haven't
kind of touched it. You guys saw it. I like it. I'm so tired of that little like glass backing. I would rather just have these like several lenses stick out of the phone. That makes so much sense to me. But Bennett, you said that you weren't a big fan.
Yeah, how do you pronounce it, Dean? Is it trichophobia? Tryptophobia?
Tryptophobia.
Yeah. I don't have tryptophobia, but it's like this fear of holes. And if you're kind of like wondering what it means, you can Google that. It's like TR.
No, it's a fear of holes. Like, you got it.
Yeah, but like the images it comes up when you Google it. It's like a very specific like hole pattern kind of. It's like very creepy looking. It's kind of gross. If you think you have it, don't look it up because it is kind of gross looking. But just when I was editing the video, I just took so many shots on the gimbal of like the camera like spinning and like panning like this, and I just was watching those shots over and over again of the holes like spinning together, and I just like kind of was getting those trichnophobia vibes from it, just because instead of there being like a bump or like some sort of camera housing or something, this is a OnePlus 9 Pro, it's just like these like black holes, you know, like there isn't a lot of depth to it. You just if the lighting isn't right on the camera bump, you just see these like deep black holes, and I like this is totally me editing the video too much and just staring at these like videos going through over and over again, but it was just super threw me off and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't have trypophobia, but and like I get it though, like if I see a lot of holes, it's bothers me as well, but I didn't really get that vibe from it. I mean, I see what you mean though. It is weird, but I prefer it a lot more than the bump is kind of, it's like huge, like it's, you can't see it on this camera, but the bump on the S21 Ultra is just, it's so significant that this is so much better.
The one thing, I don't know if this is for sure, Go ahead. Sorry, just, I don't know if this is for sure because I didn't really ever play with an S21 or an S21 Plus, but the bumps on the S22 and S22 Plus did seem smaller and like more into the edge of the phone than last year. I don't know if I could be wrong, but they seemed like I liked those more. That was the last thing I got when we did the hands-on though.
Does it look like it's pasted onto them, like the different lenses, or does it seem like a seamless part of the phone? Because I know that that was my issue with some of the past Ultras and even the Note line. I think maybe even the last Note, I had that problem.
Yeah, I guess it can be, like, I guess you could think it's, like, pasted on. Yeah.
Okay.
To me, it's, like, the opposite. Like, it looks like they're, like, sunken in, you know? That's what throws me off. Like, when you look at it from an angle and you can't see... Like, you just see, like, the blackness of it? I don't know. It's very weird.
Yeah, yeah. From that angle, from front on, it looks like it does actually look like it's sunken.
I'm swaying him. I'm getting him.
Yeah, yeah. But if you look at it from the side, you can clearly tell, like, these are, like, kind of protruding bumps that are, like, they're not huge at all. It's pretty, it's nice.
Yeah.
But they are
small. Bumps,
and they kind of look like they could have just been, like, someone added these. But like camera stickers to the phone.
Yeah.
I like the LG Velvet, where LG Velvet kind of has like this motif where it's cool just design. Kind of, yeah, it's like the kind of like no camera bump at all. But the LG Velvet for the most part is like flush to the back of the phone. Is that the word flush? But it's like,
yeah.
So like, this phone doesn't have that, which is not as nice in my opinion.
Can we go over which camera is which? Because, like, I've read through the specs a few times, and I'm going to be honest, there's, like, why are there two telephoto lenses?
It's because one is for 10 tele...
And one is three, but...
One is three. But it does... They're, like, optical. Like, they're not, like... You can't control them, if you know what I mean. Like, if you want to...
Yeah.
Want specifically three... times
it jumps from whatever optical zoom to whatever optical zoom.
Yeah. It just seems, I don't know, seems like a lot. I guess it's kind of like, but I just think the design would have been way cleaner if there was just those three big holes and not the three small holes. The third small hole I'm counting is the flash hole. Like, you know, just imagine
it
just,
now.
Boop, boop, boop. Just those three, yeah, without those two little side ones. Because, like, what are the side ones? One of them is the one of the telephotos. It's like, we don't need one. We'll just keep whatever one's better is the one that I want. Because, like, I find this with phone cameras a lot, and I could be wrong because I don't test a lot of, like, flagship Androids besides OnePlus, but some of the lower-end ones, like, it's always, like, you know, one camera's good, two cameras are good, but there's, like, four on there, and two of them are just, like, why are they here? I'm not going to use these. Too grainy. Like, you know, it's not really worth it. Maybe Samsung is the exception. They probably are. They're the top dog for a reason. But I find that happens often, you know? Where you get, like, these cameras that are, like, arbitrarily added on. It's like, oh, it's a 2-megapixel black and white camera. You're like, I'm never going to use that, but thanks.
That's because you're used to reviewing OnePlus phones.
Yeah, that's true. OnePlus is really bad for that. This is me just getting my OnePlus anger out at Samsung. Samsung, I'm sorry. This is for, what's his name? It's not Carl Pei. He left. Pete Lau. That's to you, my guy. All right.
Before we hit the ad break, Dean, what's the zoom situation with the S22? Like, what's the max optical zoom?
It's the same as last year. So 10 optical, 100, and I think it's 100 hybrid.
Yeah, it's hybrid.
Yeah, 100 hybrid.
I'm looking forward to seeing what 10 times optical looks like in your review this year. Because last year, that it was sick. Like the 10 times
I want to go bird watching. I don't think they've changed much to the zoom aspect. I think they really focused on trying to improve low lighting.
That was the S21's like killer feature, was that 10 times zoom.
Yeah, I remember that review. Low lighting and video. They're trying to improve their videography as well, which okay. I'm horrible at talking about in reviews.
That's okay. I mean, when we do it, maybe I can play around with that stuff and I'll just like hop in and say a line about it when we do the video review or something. But there's no cinematic mode competitor, is there? I mean, did I miss that?
So they have auto framing now. So in when you're like doing a video, it like
for video chats and stuff.
No, like for when you're like just doing like regular video, like if you're taking a video of you and your friends, and you want to like it will auto frame it so that everyone's in the frame perfectly. And then when you click on one specific person, like one specific person's face, it will like lock on to that person. So if that person moves around, like the camera will keep trying to follow it.
But is there depth of field?
No, so it's not the same as cinematic. Okay. but that's the closest, it's like a change, like they're trying to
Very handy feature in like another way. I mean, in terms of like, you know, cinematic mode is nice because it sort of emulates that big camera depth of field, but that really, if they have really good like autofocus, you can really lock onto a subject and doesn't need to see their face. Like, you know, being able to like film in crowds with autofocus and stuff is something that I think Sony is starting to push into a lot more in its like high-end mirrorless line. And if Samsung can do that in the smartphone space, that's kind of cool. Not that people need, you know, are shooting these like kind of crazy autofocus type movies where they would need all this different effects in their phones, but that's pretty cool and pretty pro, I guess. But yeah. I, you know, as a digital creator, cinematic mode made my TikToks better and just want more of that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe so, this can work with depth. They didn't mention it in the like briefing stuff I saw. But we can give it a shot. Like, we can definitely try that stuff out.
So your Ultra review is coming somewhat like in the next couple weeks, right? Because we
let's say before the phone comes out. Yeah, the phone comes out on February 25th. So you should expect it before the phone comes out.
Okay,
just cool. So you can make like for viewers, they can make an informed choice about informed whether or not they purchase. Should. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's hit the ad break and then chat about the S22 and the S22 Plus.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so the S22 and the S22 Plus look, to me, from the outside looking in, identical to the last year's S21 and the S21 Plus. Even in terms of specs, they look the same to me. Is that a true assumption, or am I just like not looking into it enough?
It's true, but there's like one little wrinkle. Gold. Two little wrinkles then. pink gold is here, and when you hold it in your hand, kind of feels like an iPhone. That was the first thing Dean and I said. It's just they squared off the edges a lot more. It's hard to see in pictures, but when you pick it up, it feels very square.
iPhone. Yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Especially because the Ultra still has that note, like curvy edges around whatever, like that more like racetrack style design, if that makes any sense to anybody. But the S22 and S22 Plus, both of us, like Dean and I held them, we walked away from the PR people and we're just like, yo, this, does it kind of feel like an iPhone to you? Yeah. Whoa. And that was like our first opinion to both of us.
Like legit, that's exactly how it happened. Like we both I looked away to see if the PR person was in earshot. Yeah. Then we said it.
did they do this? Did they just make because we didn't expect it, but yeah, it felt very iPhone, very squared off. In a good way. Like super comfortable in the hand, very nice, maybe even a little curvier. But that was like my first thought was like, whoa, that feels like an iPhone. And looks like an S21. Is there anything else
different about them when you compare them to last year's phones, like at all, the like phone, whether it's camera specs? I know you just talked about the design, but like camera specs or RAM or anything like
display that. Display is smaller on both, I think. No, on one of them. Display is smaller on the S22, but the phone is like altogether smaller, like slightly smaller, which I mean is nicer for people who, like John, who like smaller phones. RAM is the same, storage is the same. There's a new processor.
Oh yeah, it also has we didn't talk about that with the Ultra either.
It also has the 240Hz game sense in as well, or touch sense in as well for games.
And these we should mention it. These are the first phones to feature the new Snapdragon chip in Canada, right?
Yeah. Snapdragon 8 Gen 1.
Yes.
They also have like completely new cameras. Like different cameras
compared to last year.
Yeah,
I think they have the same like larger sensors and stuff. Like it's a similar like low light push.
Specs wise, let me just compare that. Like, let me make sure I have that.
Hey, wait, yeah, you look that up. I'm gonna talk about the colors quick. But basically, there are four colors you can get from like every carrier. What is it? Pink gold, phantom black, phantom white, and green. And then on Samsung's website, they also have a sky blue, a violet, and a cream color. The cream color being my favorite because it's the same color that the Galaxy Flip 3 was. And I really liked that one.
I like the violet.
The violet's really nice, too. I'm with you.
But camera-wise, yeah, it's a completely different camera setup. So, like, the primary camera this time is 50 megapixels. No, that's not. Yeah, it is true. 50 megapixels, whereas the primary camera last time was 12 megapixels. The telephoto this time is 10 megapixels, whereas the telephoto last time was 64 megapixels. And the ultrawide is the same. The ultrawide is the exact same camera. So they kind of switched it. So they gave the primary shooter has 50 instead of 12, and the telephoto has 10 now instead of 64.
But the megapixels doesn't often mean that much. Like, is there changes to the sensor or the pixel size?
I think what that mean would be is
they're larger sensors to let in more light, but not by a lot. But I mean, we're talking still from phone sensors, so going from millimeters to millimeters.
I think that would mean though, like the primary camera itself should let in more light, but not the telephoto camera.
It's funny. It sounds so similar to like the difference between the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 13 series. Like that was not a big jump. That was like the incremental leap, I guess I would say, is like the low light performance. And that's what Apple pushed in like briefings and ads and stuff like that. And to me, like without using these phones, it sounds like Samsung's taking a very similar approach with the cameras this year.
Actually, if you go by GSM Arena, which is something I didn't, like this might be wrong, but if you go by GSM Arena, the S20 one didn't actually have 3x zoom. It only had 1.1x optical zoom and then 3x hybrid zoom.
Hybrid would be both with a mix of optical and digital. Did it only have two cameras then?
What was this?
No, it had three. It has three, but it would like now it has 3x optical zoom, like actual optical zoom.
Okay.
So which means that your telephoto experience should be better on the new S22.
Yeah.
Which is cool. That's good. I didn't know it didn't have 3x hybrid optical zoom, which I should check my review for that.
I think that this like three camera setup, I've said this on this podcast before, but I think that three camera setup of a wide, like a regular wide and like a 3x, 2x zoom is kind of like the perfect combo, you know? It's just what you would need.
I don't know. I like the 10. I like the idea of the 10x zoom.
That's like, true. And I do like your bird watching idea, but.
Yeah, I really want to go bird watching. And Huawei had like 5x zoom on their P20.
They were doing that zoom stuff before even Samsung was.
Before everybody. I feel like they pioneered like having a separate zoom lens or my.
Oh, crazy? It feels like it. Like I don't think there is many phones before that did, especially not the one the square shape the
telephoto.
Not telephoto, but they have another.
Oh, periscope. Yeah, periscope. The mirrors. That was fun.
Yeah, they're the first ones with the periscope camera, and like they were pretty. That's pretty cool, right? So I think 5x zoom was good for when I was using the Huawei P30 Pro. I really liked it. And I think that 5x zoom is a good spot. I mean, the Google's Pixel 6 Pro has 4x zoom, which doesn't feel like a lot more than 3x zoom, but 5x zoom felt a lot more than 3x zoom. I'm saying a lot of numbers and times and
a lot of zooms. Zooming all over the place.
Yeah, but I feel like the P30 Pro like did it really well, which is crazy because that phone came out in 2019.
Before we switch gears and talk about the tablets, and I introduce those in an amusing way. Like,
I thought you were going to say musical way. I was like, you're going to sing
I'm going
to
sing a song. I would love that. Please about sing notches. Us. How does the S22 series, just in general, like all of the phones, how do they fit into the Canadian landscape in terms of pricing? Because I know that that's something that we often bring up in our reviews, right? Is like how much these devices actually cost. And like instantly your S21 FE review, which it's insane that phone came out like a few weeks ago and we're already on the S22 series. Like that phone cost too much. So it made it really, really hard to recommend. Is that the same case with the S21, S21 Plus, and S21 Ultra? Like, is the Pixel just straight up a better buy? Is the iPhone just totally a better buy than either of these devices?
I feel like if you're going to compare apples to oranges, like apples to apples, I'm so funny. If you're going to compare Google Pixel, like Androids to Android, it's better. Then you'll have like your Pixel is gonna be a lot cheaper than the S22 even. No, that's not true. Than the S22 Plus even, which is like a lot cheaper. They're the same price. No, they're not. They're not. I'm not going crazy. The S22 Plus is more expensive than your Pixel 6 Pro, which you're kind of like, well, the Pixel 6 Pro has 12 gigs of RAM, 128. It's the same storage, good cameras as well. Why would you go anything? Like, why would you not just get the Pixel 6 Pro? And my answer to you is...
Well, some people are so loyal to Samsung, right? Like,
he's right.
Like, you walk into a carrier store and you're just like a regular person buying a phone. And sometimes people think that Android is Samsung. Like, there's no other phone that exists. Like, I know people like us that know stuff about phones always recommend Pixel devices, but like to the broader Canadian population, like no one knows what the hell a Pixel is.
No,
when I got one. I got picked up from the Samsung event, my Uber driver was a Samsung fanboy hardcore, but he had no idea about anything. Like, I was just sort of fact checking him the whole way through the drive home. It was like a 40-minute drive. Because he was like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm just looking at these new Samsung phones. Like, I do this job. And he's like, oh, I love Samsung. He had a Fold, and he was like all about it. Oh, but sick. Yeah, he like had no idea about Pixels. He had no idea about like anything really outside the Samsung space. You know,
so many people like that.
It's just like the average consumer is like that, yeah.
Well, my people mom, I grew up with that only buy the Note. Like, that was the only phone that they've ever pretty much had, other than like really, really early like smartphones. Since the Note existed, that's all they've ever purchased. And when the Note died, they were like, I don't know what phone to buy now.
My mom back to BlackBerry. Was kind of the same, and she's just like, loves Samsung phones at all. I mean, I'm like, one of her phones broke, and I was like, well, I have this like extra Pixel you can use, and she refuses to use it, only wants to use a Samsung phone. Which I have billions of, apparently. So it was no issue. But still, like, people love Samsung. It's such like a iconic name brand. Samsung has been dominating the phone market for, I mean, as long as I've been in tech, it's always dominated the phone market globally, and at least shared it like half and half with Apple in Canada. So, I mean, like, yeah, people might be buying a name brand. At the same time, I find that like Samsung phones can like they feel great. I mean, like I enjoy One UI a lot.
It's so much better now. Yeah.
Then TouchWiz was a monster, but I enjoy One UI.
Yeah,
TouchWiz was so bad.
It's can do good stuff. I mean, like, would I personally buy if it was me and my money? I would definitely just go for the Pixel 6 Pro, I think, just because it's so much, it is cheaper, the cheaper option. Or the Fold. Or
I'd go I was about to say, like,
you always still but, look at the Fold. And like,
what about the Flip? Because, like, if I needed a new phone last summer, I would have been getting a Flip, dog. I would have been flipping. Like for
especially
sure.
Especially on contract in Canada, like, it's not an insane amount of, it's a lot of money. 100% it's a lot of money, but it's not crazy. Like, it's
even
an amount that someone might spend.
Even as outdated as it is right now, I still would rather a Flip 3 than any of the phones they just announced.
Sorry, but
really?
But now to
why
compare,
not? It's cool. And like, let's be honest, we know that cameras aren't getting that much better. Chips aren't changing that much. True. Like a phone from a year ago is still highly competitive with a phone from this year, I think.
But comparing Apple to oranges, to Samsungs, they're the same, right? Like the iPhone 13 10 is $1099. The S22 is $1099. The iPhone 13 Pro is $1399. The S22 Plus is $1399.
So it's the
if you
same.
Want, yeah, if you want more gigs, the S22 Ultra is $1649.
The S21 Apple's FE is like the same price as the 13 Mini too, isn't it? $950.
Yeah. Bam.
Yeah. So they've like just parity across the line. Well, we talked about this one before, and I thought it was cheaper. So.
I know it's two different worlds, and like not everybody's jumping ship like when there's a good deal on a phone or something, but I still like to place it in context.
I think it's worth mentioning. And one thing I just want to mention when you say like two separate worlds, and I feel like I've said this before in the podcast too, I'm just gonna say it really quickly, but like if you're a phone nerd like us and you're just like kind of feeling like your phone's boring and you're like, oh, I upgraded to, you know, I love Samsung, I keep getting Samsungs, but you're just not feeling like a new device, switch over to iPhone for 2 years, switch back, like hop on both sides of the aisle. But I feel like if you're a tech nerd and you're looking for like, you know, a gadget to truly feel new, that's like the only way to do it anymore.
Yeah,
just buy
a fold. Just like a side piece. That one's a fun toy too. Yeah,
it's like you're an influencer and you're sponsored by the fold line. Just you want everyone to drop.
I love it. It's probably my most used phone.
It's sick. It's just so much money. It's still too much money, I think, for the average consumer.
It's the same cost as the S22 Ultra with 1 terabyte.
Which I also think no one.
We don't think. Really no one should get that either. It's also a no buy.
Person's not buying it.
And I'm not a Samsung shill, I promise anyone. But if you're going to buy an S22 Ultra, like this would be the time, because
use promo code Dean at checkout to get there.
No, but if you, because right now they're doing this deal where it's like if you get the S22 Ultra of 256 gigs, it's the same price as the one of 128 gigs, and the one of 256 gigs has 12 gigabytes of RAM compared to the one.
Do you get like headphones too?
I think you also get headphones. Do you get the
don't you?
There's a pre-order bonus. What's the pre-order bonus?
You
get headphones. If you get headphones and a keyboard case, if you get a tablet. Maybe that's what you're mistaking. But I don't think you got some headphones. Which is weird because like how much does it cost Sam to make Galaxy Buds? Like $4 a pop? Like why aren't they just pumping these out?
Speaking of tablets, let's shift gears, Bennett. Talk about these tablets that nobody really truly cares about and Samsung should probably stop making.
They were doing well on our site analytics wise earlier. Let's see where they are now.
Who's buying them though?
I don't know.
I love the idea of tablets.
Yeah,
Samsung buy an iPad.
Samsung told us it was for like hybrid workers, but I just don't like decks. I don't find decks like intuitive to use. I find it weirdly touchscreeny for like a trying to be a computer, but people might like it. Yeah, the tab lineup is being read more than the Ultra hands-on now and the S22 Ultra color story. Not by much, just a tiny little bit. So those are probably switching. But, you know, it's getting more reads than I would have expected.
Man, I worked so hard on that hands-on.
No, well, that hands-on was like at the for the first 3 hours of the day was at the top. The tablet one was never there. but yeah, okay. So tablets, let's get into it. There are three. Just like the phones, there is a Tab S8, there is a Tab S8 Plus, those two are very similar, and then there is a Tab S8 Ultra, top of the line. So the Tab S8 probably being the one that I would recommend the most because it is an 11-inch tablet, and I think that's like a good tablet size. It feels very much like an A4 piece of paper in your hand. All the tablets come with big styluses that magnetize to the back that are more the size of a pencil rather than the tiny S Pen that comes with the Galaxy S22. I almost wanted to say Note again. But so those are really handy. You get all that. This one's the cheapest. It has the same like rear cameras, most of the same specs as the other two. So you're pretty much getting the same experience. I think it starts at like $800 or $900. So these tablets are all very expensive. They're like iPad Pro equivalents. You know, they're very high end. Moving on, the next one I believe is 12.4 inches. So it's moving into that sort of like 13.
Plus, right?
Yeah, that one's a plus. Okay. Moving more into that 13-inch laptop space. And then the final one, the Tab S8 Ultra is like 14.4 inches. Let me
bigger
just
than a MacBook.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
Double check. 14.6 inches. Yeah, it's bigger
than the 13-inch MacBook.
And it has, it might even be bigger than the 14-inch MacBook. I don't know. It'd be very comparable in size to the 14-inch MacBook though. And just like the 14-inch MacBook, it has a little notch on there because it has two front-facing cameras. For some reason.
But why?
I honestly don't know, because like I'm pretty sure all of the tablets do that like track you during calls thing where, you know, it's like moving around
the center stage sort of thing that Apple has with the iPad.
Facebook pioneered it with the portals, but yeah, like I'm not sure what exactly the thing is. I think one is a wider, you're right, Xbox with the Kinect.
Xbox did it first, I think, with
Xbox
like,
did everything first.
What was it with Kinect? Skype.
Yeah. But the Kinect was the first like
Google Home device. I love that. I'm going to write that story someday.
The Kinect was the first Google Home device.
It was, because you would walk in and you couldn't ask it to do lights, but you'd be like, hey, Xbox, play the TV, turn the TV on. You're just talking to it, asking for these controls. The first Kinect just
didn't really work, period.
Sorry, yeah, I guess the third Kinect was the first Kinect Google 2. Home
device. The second one. The one that came with the Xbox One. It was great. It 100% worked. The first one was more of an experiment that, if you played games with it, because I used to play Kinect.
I was a little kid when it first came out. Some of those games were pretty fun.
You just had to have a bright room, an extremely bright room and a lot of space. Whereas the Kinect 2.0 is far more versatile. You could play it under nearly any conditions. But sidetracked you. Continue.
No, that's okay. I'll take any moment to just tell people that the Kinect was the first Google Home. Anyway,
do you know what processor is?
Don't know what processor is. I'll get to that in 1 second. We'll have to ask Samsung, but I'm pretty sure it's the new Exynos. But in all the spec sheets, they were calling it a 4-nanometer octa-core chip, but it has all the specs that the new Exynos processor should have. It's 4-nanometer. It has 5G capabilities, Wi-Fi 6, all that new stuff. So it should be that, but they didn't say that. So it's kind of weird. But just for that notch, one camera is just a regular kind of camera and the other one is an ultra wide. So I guess you could do a meeting with more people in your space.
I only just brought the processor because someone asked me what processor was in the S22 phones. And I'm like, I guess I don't know. It says 4-nanometer for me as well. But it would have to be the Snapdragon one, right?
You've written about the tabs in the past, Bennett. Do they bring the Exynos or the Snapdragon variant to North America? I know with the phones, it's always the Snapdragon. But on the tablet side, do you know?
Let's see.
He furiously Googles it.
No, I'm looking for... Yeah, I am. But it's my own review. I'm just trying to see what it was last time I had one.
My guess is it's... Dean's probably right, and it's not the Exynos.
Yeah, it's probably Snapdragon, right?
But I don't know. Their contract with Qualcomm has nothing to do with tablets in North America.
So yeah, the last tablet was an 865, the S7 Plus was an 865, so that was a pretty high end chip for that time. The spec sheet they said just said 4-nanometer. I guess I should do more research into what the exact specs are of the Snapdragon HM1, because I bet you it's probably...
We should ask them and try to find out.
Yeah, we'll...
Because it's weird they weren't specific about it in the briefing.
I'm reading GSM, and it only says 8 Gen 1 for the tabs, whereas the Ultra, it says Exynos or 8 Gen 1. So maybe that's a sign or something? I don't know.
That would be weird if they use some and then the other ones use the other one.
Well, often do that where the some Samsung phones will have Exynos processors in Asia and whatnot. No?
Yeah, but it's regional. In North America specifically.
No, they're saying...
North America will have one or the other, but GSM is global.
GSM's saying that it's only Snapdragon.
For the tablets.
Weird.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
I
guess maybe I assumed too much, but just because they didn't clarify that it was a Snapdragon in the press release, I was like, okay, it must be an Exynos then. But yeah,
I think that's why they didn't clarify. That's why
it's a Snapdragon. That makes you're right. The flip side of that argument makes a lot more sense. But yeah, so then they're sitting with Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 chips, which is pretty snappy and lots of RAM. And yeah, I don't know. They're cool. Samsung right now, we just talked about the pre-ordered bonuses with the phones, but the pre-order bonuses with the tablets are a keyboard cover. They call it their book cover and Galaxy Buds 2, which are honestly great earbuds. So if you want a Samsung tab, maybe now is the time. Those deals are pretty good. But you said earlier, Pat, I just... don't necessarily know what people are using them for. Your mom has one, Dean, right? And she uses it for work, if I'm correct.
No. You're incorrect.
I don't know your mom. Sorry. I thought
she does not have one at all. She has a didn't Samsung she? Tablet.
No, that's what I mean. She's not using it for work. We're talking about people who use Samsung tablets.
Oh, she uses it to read, I think, and watch stuff. She watches Netflix on it.
I just don't know anyone that uses... I know there's other Android tablet manufacturers. I just don't know a single person in my life that uses an Android tablet.
Are there? Name me one. Go.
Other tablet
manufacturers?
Right about Android. Yeah.
And could you call Amazon an Android manufacturer, tablet manufacturer, technically?
No, they use Fire.
What's that company?
But it's based on Android.
Oh, doesn't TCL...
It's Lenovo. Lenovo. Oh, TCL does...
TCL has some...
Yeah, Lenovo has some.
I don't know
Lenovo,
what it's called.
Yeah, and they...
I mostly see tablets as like point of sale machines, you know, like not like the new Apple thing where you tap your card to them, but like often they are cash registers, be whether it be iPads or Samsung tablets. But I'm seeing those a lot.
I see
that's
that too,
like
right.
way more than anyone's home. But also just across my like like my perspective, my friend group, the people that I know, no one like my age has a tablet. Like my mom and my grandparents have iPads, but most people just have laptops or their phones. I don't know a lot of people my age is with tablets. I don't know about you guys.
You know where else? When you order sushi, what? All you can eat sushi, and you're at
oh yeah, those menus are often tablets.
Yeah.
But aren't they iPads usually?
Depends on where. I think most of them are iPads. Yeah.
So the last thing before we wrap it up, I wanted to mention was the fact that the Tab S8 Ultra has a notch. It remains like perplexing to me because Samsung does this thing where they're like they'll dunk on Apple, and it's always so funny. Like they had that thing where that ad where like the guy had the notch cut into his hairline.
That was so good.
Which is funny. Like it's always funny when these companies poke fun at each other, but Samsung always ends up doing whatever they're making fun of. Like I remember one time they made a comment about like, and we still include chargers with our devices.
Not anymore. Not this year.
They ditched them.
Like same literally thing. The next phone after. It was like the next phone after they ditched them.
We still have a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. And then they ditched that. And every time they've made like, I don't want to call it an attack ad because it's not really an attack ad. It's like a funny ad that just makes fun of Apple, and anything that like makes fun of the most powerful company in the world is always amusing. But they like, it's like so short-sighted that they always end up doing whatever they're making fun of. And this is always. Just like another example.
It's crazy.
Well, Ed, this one's so weird too, because it's like, why even put a notch on your tablet? Like it's a tablet. So it's kind of like the Mac thing, but the bezels on the tablet look a little larger. And it's like, I don't know why we need two cameras in the tablet. Like
and
this
even
is crazy.
Even if they had two cameras, their S20 Plus had two hole punches.
Yeah, why not do a hole punch? It's like whatever,
sure,
and it's like the MacBook notch. Yeah, exactly. So it'll just
fades away. Like the MacBook notch is stupid. Often frustrates me because like certain apps will disappear behind it. Like it's not great, but for the most part, I forget it's there. Like I'm sure if you're using the Tab S8 Ultra, you're gonna forget about it. Just like the marketing side of things always cracks me up. That like they talk shit about Apple and then a year later end up doing the same thing.
Yeah. I like the Burger King thing today.
Oh yeah, that was funny. That was cool.
They made fun of Apple at the very beginning of it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was clever.
What did they say again?
Well, they made the guy from Macintosh come out with
a raincoat.
And then they were like, nah, fuck you, like your raincoat. Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's probably a good place to wrap up the episode. I guess something to look out for is we're going to have an S22 Ultra review up on the site in the next few weeks before release, which is on the 25th.
It should be up sometime that week, probably. I would expect.
Probably earlier that week. I'm off most of that week, so yeah.
And we'll have a video review of that phone as well, and then we'll also have an S22 review and maybe an S22 Plus review down the line, because I know that Plus model still has an audience of people that like prefer larger phones but don't want to.
I don't think it should come out. I think they should get rid of that phone.
Let Samsung know in your next briefing that they should cancel.
I think they don't listen to what we say in the briefings.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, I would. This wouldn't be black if they listened.
They were like, "What color? We're like, whatever contrasts with Dean's skin the most, so we can see it in photos. Cool."
They said you that one.
Same right, color.
Let's talk about the games that we've been playing lately.
Oh, wait, last thing before we hop off that, I just want to say, if I find some free time, I want to do a video just on Dex. I want to use Samsung Dex for like a week or something, because they keep pushing it. Maybe I'm missing something. Pardon?
I don't think anyone's using Dex.
Might just be me, but we'll have to see.
It'll be you making the video, but
Dex isn't bad.
It was cool, but like the novelty wore off pretty quickly, and I would honestly like love to see usage statistics on it. I have a feeling
I'd like to do a deep dive in it because, is it being used? Is it even useful? Like, they just keep putting more into it, and these tablets are very much like hybrid work, like use Dex. So maybe there's something we're missing, but I doubt it. I think it could be a fun video, though. Anyway, let's get into the games. Game time.
Okay, games. I've been playing Sea of Thieves, took a break from Halo. Played way, way too much Halo the last couple months. pretty burnt out on the game, have nothing left to do in it. Wow. The ranks are getting reset in like a couple weeks. I'm not going to like try to grind ranks and then have it disappear. Pleasantly surprised with Sea of Thieves. I played it like a lot when it first came out, and I think in like late 2017, early 2018, something like that. Great game, just not a hell of a lot going on in it. And interestingly, it has like a friendly community in a sense, which is nice.
Oh, cute.
Going from like what I'm used to in Halo Infinite, where people are just like swearing and yelling racist.
Everyone should be mean if they're a pirate.
Like the example that I was just going to share is like I was on an island. I played the game with my brother. We're completing a mission. Dude shows up in like a huge 4-person ship. He's solo by himself. I expect him to just blow my boat away, steal the loot that we have on the ship, come on the island and just spawn kill us. He parts his ship, moves our ship closer, like gets on our ship, moves it closer to the island so it's easier to bring loot off the island and put it on our ship. Comes up to me, hands me a banana. I eat his banana.
That's friendly. Yeah.
And then he goes around the island like finding treasure and stuff, and then helps us put it on the ship. And then we're like, okay, cool. And we leave, and he like stands on the bow of his boat, just like waving to us as we leave.
It's so like, adorable.
That's cute. Like, I don't know if this man just like sails around Sea of Thieves finding like noobs like myself.
This could be like a 7-year-old that just like showed up and like went up to you, and you were like, "Oh my god, this savior!" And it's like some kid, like, "I'm not sure what I'm doing." Banana. No,
like, this guy 100% was like, because he was like pirate legend level, which means you get to like level 50 in one of the factions in the game. He could be a 7-year-old, 100%, very possible. 7-year-old with a lot of time on his hands, but he knew what he was doing, and that man could have destroyed us in like one cannon blast, and he did not.
The best pirate, or the worst? What's the line from Pirates of the Caribbean? You have to be the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
Well, something like that.
Yeah.
Dean, what have you been playing?
I've never seen Pirates of the Caribbean. Well, I've never seen it fully.
They're good.
The first movie
better than
really
they
good.
Have any right to be. Yeah.
I just don't like
pirates. After that, they all suck, I think. But
you know, like pirates are fun. Well, it depends on which side of the pirate team you're on, I guess, how fun they are. But anyway.
Boats. I've been playing Pokemon Legends a bit still. I haven't beaten the post game yet because I want to make the perfect team before I do that. But when I'm not playing that, I've been playing Apex Legends. Look at me, all this legend stuff. Because they've added, like yesterday they added a new game mode that kind of works like 9v9 capture the hill.
Sounds really cool.
Like Halo-ish kind of, because you just respawn and you just keep respawning until your team captures the hill, which is super fun. And I've enjoyed
it's interesting that like Apex has done that arc too, you know, from like battle royale to like just team shooters being like tacked onto it, you know, because when battle royales came out it was like the other way around.
They added that stuff, so I've been playing Halo, Apex and Pokemon, and I'm just biding my time till Elden Ring comes out later this month. Wait for my review. Nice.
I tried to play review. Apex on the weekend just to like prepare for this update, because I was like, oh, maybe I'll get back into Apex, because I used to only play Apex before Halo Infinite came out. I can't do it. Like,
no,
Halo is like ingrained into my brain. I can't.
Wait, play the update.
You are a Master Chief.
I am the Master Chief now.
Play this 99 thing. I might give it a shot. You got this. Yeah. It's pretty easy. It's a lot easier than Halo.
The controls just felt so different. Like, everything from like how you reload to player movement. Like, I've just played so much Halo that it felt incredibly so foreign. Like, crazy, crazy hard. More, like, way harder than I expected.
That makes sense. Bennett, how about you? You been playing games yet?
No, I don't think so.
There's not time for games.
Except for games
with
my heart.
I could see some games. I've been just watching Ozark. A few weeks ago, Brad Shankar gave Alex and I the first two episodes. He got like review copies of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So I've seen those and I'm just like waiting. It's like, I think 2 weeks until the next season of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel comes out. So I'm really excited for that, to be honest.
Sorry, that's hype. He just gave you the review copies. You're not writing about it. Is he writing about it?
I don't know. Is anybody?
What? Send us. I get tons of them. I get them for every single show.
Turn them down.
And I just don't use them because I assume they wanted me to write about it. And I'm like, I don't want to write about Mrs. Marvelous.
They're sending them to you like unsolicited. You can just do it. Like if they're sending you the access.
What?
I get early access to Apple TV Plus stuff quite often. I just watch it. I've written about Apple TV Plus shows before, but not all of it relates to mobile service. Right? Like, I'm gonna
watch all of Vox Machina. Peace out, guys.
I don't know. I don't think they give them all out. They didn't with Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. You probably know more than me about the streamers. Yeah. You probably get more than the first one I've ever done. But
they gave me 6 episodes of Wheel of Time, Jack Reacher. Like, they give me stuff all the time, and they just never do it because I'm like, I don't have time. And I even apologize to them. I'm like, hey, guys, like, I honestly just don't have the time to watch this and then write about it. And they're like, that's cool.
Yeah. Also, like, I mean, our core audience isn't, like, looking for movie reviews, I think, that much, you know? Yeah. Like, as much as I could say, like, I love the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Okay. Like, people know that. It is good, though. It's great. Sorry. Yeah, that was the last thing I had. Sorry, Pat. I know you have to go, so we can wrap this up if you're done.
Let's wrap up this bad boy. That's it. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_O'Rourke. And of course on mobilesyrup.com. Bennett, where can people find you?
You can find me at mobilesyrup.com as well, on the Mobile Syrup YouTube channel. Also Dean on the Mobile Syrup YouTube channel this week and probably next with the Galaxy S22 stuff. And then on socials and everything at the Brad Fad. And what do I...
Superstar over here.
I've got this tiny little $60 earbud review coming up, and I've also got an Instax. Yeah, it didn't go into focus because I'm not autofocused or not, but they're tiny earbuds. It's really small case, kind of cool. They're $60. They don't sound that good, but for $60, I think it's maybe a trade-off that you might be able to make because they're not that bad. Anyway, and then I also have an Instax mini camera review coming up, and after months and months and months and months and months of waiting, potentially I'm getting Nothing Ear One earbuds, which I probably don't even need to review anymore.
Transparent buds.
I probably don't need to review anymore because it's like 6 months after they came out and Nothing has decided to only talk to us now, but I want to. So I'm excited. I'm really excited about it.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I love transparent. Where can people find you?
You can find me at The Daily Dean on Twitter and Instagram and on Mobile Syrup's YouTube page. Or in your dreams.
In your dreams.
He's a nightly Dean in your dreams, though.
You know.
Dean after dark.
Dean after dark. Ooh.
And as always, you can find our content on mobilesyrup.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at mobilesyrup. Thanks for listening.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.